You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wrong one there, 95BFM. The time is now 11:45. You were just listening to Cigarettes After Sex with Nothing's Gonna Hurt You, Baby. Before that was Yves Tamore with Africa Ashes. And yes, right now we have Minnie and Sarah here from Be Accessible. And yeah, how's your days going so far?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Great to be here.
Awesome. And so, yes, with Be Accessible, I've kind of told the listeners a little bit about it, but for you guys who are in it, yeah, let us know what it's all about.
Sure.
Firstly.
So, hi, I'm Minnie, and Be Accessible was set up about 6 years ago. We're a social change agency with a focus on making New Zealand the most accessible country in the world. So we believe that New Zealand can be the country where people, no matter what kind of an impairment you might have been born with or acquired throughout your life, that we have a country that really values your contribution in all areas of life. So it's quite a big mission. Yeah. but we operate sort of as a social movement. Yeah. And we've got a number of programs that are all contributing to the advancement of a more inclusive, accessible New Zealand.
Right. And so, yes, it talks about how it's helping 24% of our population, which is people that have access needs.
Yeah.
Would you describe an access citizen, or who would an access citizen be for?
Well, you know, to help? Great question. And so when we set B up, one of the things that, this is a bit confusing because we refer to ourselves as B as well. When we established, both Sarah and I are actually partially blind or legally blind. Often wonder what it means to be illegally blind, but anyway,
a concern.
Yeah. And so we've both grown up experiencing the world, I guess, as access citizens. So for us, an access citizen is anyone who has experience of the world, perhaps by living with some kind of an impairment. And so I guess typically people would have referred to, say, myself and Sarah as people with a disability or disabled people, or used less flattering language than that over the years.
Right.
And so one of the things we felt was really important to do was to reframe accessibility in quite a contemporary context, and to start to think of it in the sense that while Sarah and I have are both partially sighted or partially blind or whatever you want to call it, all of us at some stage in our lives will have an access need. So, you know, for people who perhaps go out and play sport, they might have an accident, sprain an ankle, I don't know, break a tailbone snowboarding or whatever. And you then experience accessibility or the world, or the lack of access, actually, often temporarily until you've recovered. But it's often a moment where people go, gosh, the world's really not designed for people if you're using crutches, or you've just had surgery, or maybe you have dyslexia, or of course mental health issues also fall into this space. So when you start to look at it, you realise actually it's all of us at some stage in our lives. And by the time we're 65, 50% of us have at least one age-related impairment or access need. And so it's the way we sort of try to think about it at B is that we're sort of on a continuum, a spectrum.
Right.
And at some points in our lives, our need for access is amplified or intensified, and at other times it might not be, depending on our own physicality and well-being, I guess, and more critically often the way the world around us has been designed. So you can either design a world that's inclusive and accessible, or you can choose not to. And so what we're doing at B is trying to get people to create a more inclusive world so that we can create a world where all people can really thrive and flourish, really.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And in saying that, when you started, when Be Employed or Be Accessible started implementing organisations, trying to implement, you know, tapping into this resource of amazing people, was it quite difficult in the beginning?
Yeah.
Trying to partner up with organisations and be like, well, you can tap into this.
Yeah.
yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. I think any difficult? Social change movement, you know, if you sort of look at all the big human rights movements over the years, there's a lot of momentum that needs to be generated. So what we found is we focused on early adopters. We found businesses and organisations who were open and willing and wanting to right. do things a bit differently. And we actually started with a program called Be Welcome, where we go in and work with any kind of an organisation and help them develop up their own accessibility plan. So from the physical environment to their marketing to their employment, their customer service strategies, right through. And then we give them a rating. Right. From just starting bronze, silver, gold, platinum. And what we found is that businesses got quite into this and got quite excited by it. And once they had sort of a coach working alongside them, yes. they felt really more confident, because I think there's a sort of a confidence thing of, well, where do you begin? And then what we found is that those businesses were approaching us and saying, well, look, we're starting to understand what it means to be an accessible business. We'd love to employ someone. And so we realised we needed to create an employment program. And Sarah, maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about how Be Employed, how we began.
Yeah, sure.
A couple of years back now.
So we've just entered our fourth year. And so really what we saw was that there was a need for really fabulous, tenacious young people with amazing talent that were coming out of university or heading towards the end of their degree and had very little or no work experience. Yeah. Real disproportionate number of people with access needs are either unemployed or underemployed compared to mainstream. And so we saw that as a real opportunity to just start to develop a career pathway for them. And actually, it's as simple as really just giving them that confidence and that platform to believe in themselves. It's not rocket science. And so my colleague and I have worked with we're just about at 100 placements now over 3 years, which we're really, really, really delighted about. And such, yeah, and such a range of degrees, from Masters of Buddhism to Megatronics, Japanese.
What kind of job have they gone into?
actually working. ACC as a policy analyst.
No, yep. That's great.
So, you know, you name it, we've had it.
that's brilliant.
No challenge is too difficult for us.
It's true though, Sarah, isn't it? I mean, and I guess, you know, half our team have kind of access needs at B, Be Accessible. And so we're also, it's really important that we walk the talk and model this. And it's not rocket science. I'm kind of like, guys, it's the 21st century. Honestly,
absolutely.
Can we just move on with the diversity conversation? Sorry, I get a bit frustrated at this point. Because there's this gorgeous pool of talented people who are just too often being overlooked for really trivial reasons. And there's a lot of myths out there, aren't there, yep. Sarah? So
yes, that was something I wanted to tap into, because what are some of the truths or like some of the myths around accessibility in the workplace?
So I think there's a real misconception that to employ somebody with an access need is going to be costly or it's going to be difficult or they're not going to be as productive as somebody else. It's just simply not the case. 75% of people with an access need nothing additional to perform their role. And the most common request of the 25% that do is actually time. Flexibility around time, which
absolutely.
In the 21st century with technology is just simply a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And for most people that do need technology, like Minnie and myself, we have that anyway. If we studied, we're going to have that software. So it's just actually about sometimes just thinking a little bit outside the square. And it's about employers looking at this, as Minnie said, as not a whole lot of diversity and inclusion meetings and putting that into a strategic plan. It's actually just about thinking as a different pool of talent within your recruitment process.
Yeah.
That's amazing, yeah. And so it's obvious what Be Employed, well, let's clarify what is the Be Employed program and like what is it wanting to achieve?
Sure, so we're wanting to shift the dial on unemployment and underemployment for that 1 in 4 New Zealanders who live with an access need. And so really we're just about, as I said, giving students a platform to experience a 16-week paid internship. So the internships are paid through the Ministry of Social Development, which is a fabulous time. And so this is a really critical time for us because a lot of students are wanting to obviously get into summer internships.
Yeah.
And so then after that, we also have another program, which is Mainstream, which is another MSD-funded initiative, employment initiative, and that's for graduates and can be up to 2 years. So the first year is fully funded and the second year is 80% funded. At the end of that 2 years, that's a really robust experience for the student and also for the employer. And the hope is that they will then be in meaningful employment at the end, in open employment without any requirement for subsidies.
Right. So basically, I mean, if there are people out there who are in their second to last
or last year of study
with an access need of some description, to get in touch, really, because there is a range, we really offer a whole range of programs to meet people at their different points of readiness in terms of going into work, whether it is in the internship to start with, and then into, you know, fully paid. Well, actually, amazing jobs, aren't
amazing
they, Sarah?
Jobs.
Where would they get in touch with you,
Sarah?
So so they can just go to our website, and so we've got an application on form online, and obviously there is a criteria for eligibility, which we'll go through and with the individual, and then we, you know, we really just talk to them about where their passion is. We've got a young lady who who's just recently got a job at Fairfax, well, now Stuff. We've got another lady who's starting at NZME for a 16-week internship in a couple of weeks. We've got BNZ. We've just got so many different organisations who are on board and really fabulous opportunities.
So what's our website, Sarah?
www.beaccessible.org.nz.
Awesome. That you hit it right here, guys. www.beaccessible.co.nz.
org.nz.
Remember, org.nz. So if you want to get in touch, do visit them on that website.
And if there's an employer as well, I mean, that's the other part. This is a partnership. So we need fabulous employers who are just up for employing gorgeous talent. And we want gorgeous talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. And I guess it's kind of straightforward. The organisation, it's so amazing, and we do need them because, like you guys said, it's amazing to kind of enter or tapping into that amazing resource of people, into that pool, because there's still these people who can work, who can do it, and just give them time and the space to do it.
Yeah.
But awesome. Right. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Our pleasure. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you're listening at the moment, BFM have also teamed up with them and are advertising for people with access needs to do a paid internship with us here at BFM. If you want to see me sometimes running around the station, well then apply at BFM. You'll be working in production, sales, journalism and the likes. And of course, the application for that internship closes soon. So head, of course, to the Be Accessible website. That was www.beaccessible.org.nz to find out what it means to have access needs and how to apply. Yeah. And time's now 3:03. I will be back next week. Stay tuned. This is our remix of the day with Coco Solid with Criminal Remix and 5 BFM. And once again, thank you guys for coming in.
Thanks.
Thank you
so much.
No worries.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.